Happy Mother's Day. It's been a great time of worship together this morning, and looking forward to jumping into the Word of God together. And we're living in a time and culture where motherhood is devalued. And today we want to celebrate you. We want to celebrate mothers. And as we celebrate mothers, what we're really doing is celebrating Jesus. Because it was Jesus who designed motherhood. Jesus who created motherhood. Jesus who blessed motherhood in His own relationship with His mother Mary on this earth. Words cannot express what you mean to all of us moms. Your influence is so important in our lives. And there's been so much talk over the past year about essential workers. And I want to tell you, moms, you are essential. Grandmoms, you are essential. You're essential to your home. You're essential to this church. You're essential to the kingdom of God, and we thank God for you. Time magazine published a list of the 100 most influential people in the world. Rapper, singer, songwriter Megan Thee Stallion nabbed the coveted top spot. Other notables, astronauts Christina Koch and Jessica Meir, Vice President Kamala Harris, Brooklyn nurse Amy O'Sullivan, many others. Do you know who didn't make the list? Your mom. And that's not a bad mom's joke, because my mom didn't make the list either. Millions of other women also who love Christ and know Christ and love their children were not on this 100 most influential people list. Think about it. More than any politician, more than any physician or astronaut or athlete, entertainer or entrepreneur, moms, you are the most influential person in the lives of your children. There's no Moses without Jochebed. There's no Samuel without Hannah. There's no John without Elizabeth. And there is no Timothy without Eunice. If you go back to last week's study, we talked about the importance, the high calling of the pastor to shepherd the flock. And I want to ask you a question. Which came first? Eunice's calling as mother or Timothy's calling as pastor? The answer is obviously Eunice's calling as the mother of Timothy. And I want to celebrate her. I want to celebrate her high and privileged calling along with her mother, Lois, Timothy's grandmother. So we're in 2 Timothy chapters 1 and 3. Turn to 2 Timothy with me. We're going to look at verses in chapter 1 and in chapter 3. And my goal for our time together this morning is for all of us to understand that motherhood is the calling of Christ to make disciples. That's why I say there is no higher calling, because it is the call of Christ to make disciples who go on and make disciples. And I want to take a moment and recognize the reality that Mother's Day can be a difficult day. Maybe you've woke up this morning and you're discouraged. Your heart is burdened because this is a tough day for you. Maybe the death of someone very close to you, maybe your mother, maybe your child, and this is a difficult day for you. Maybe you're not able to have children, though you desire to have children. Maybe it's broken relationship with your mother or child, singleness, a wayward child, past failures. Many reasons why someone, a woman, might be discouraged this morning. I want to tell you, there is grace for all of that. Jesus has grace for all of those things. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul said this, where sin increased, failures, right? Where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Jesus has grace for you this Mother's Day. So today I want to give all of us three reasons why we should celebrate motherhood. We've got a lot to celebrate. First, model moms inspire. Model mothers inspire. In the opening verses here of 2 Timothy, Paul's thinking about Timothy. He's praying for Timothy, who is his dear friend and his co-worker in the ministry. And as he's doing so, he's reminded of Timothy's sincere faith and the women who inspired him to such sincere faith. Look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So the sincere faith that lived in Timothy first lived in his mother Eunice and also in his grandmother Lois. Now we don't know when these two women came to know Christ, came into relationship with Christ. We do know they were Old Testament believers. They believed the Old Testament Scriptures. They were obedient to God. They just hadn't heard that Christ had come as Messiah. And it might have been Pentecost. We don't know, but it could have been Pentecost when Peter preached to the thousands and many believed in Christ. Lois may have been there, Timothy's grandmother, and she may have returned home and shared the gospel. Hey, Messiah is here. It is Jesus Christ. And she shared it with her daughter Eunice and then on down to Timothy. We don't know. It could have been during Paul's first missionary journey to their hometown in Lystra, where both Lois and Eunice heard the gospel from the mouth of Paul. So we don't know. We don't know how Timothy came to faith. It could have been through the sharing of the gospel from Lois or Eunice's mother or even Paul. But what we do know is that these two godly women prepared Timothy's heart so that when he heard that Jesus was Messiah, he was ready to respond in faith. So influential in his life. Sincere faith first lived in them, and it was passed on to Timothy. We even see that sincere faith in the name Timothy. They gave him that name. That name means one who fears God. That's a great name, the name Timothy. You might wonder here, okay, where's Timothy's dad? What about the sincere faith of Timothy's father? Notice Paul's discovery on his second visit to Lystra, Acts chapter 16 and verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So from what we can tell, Timothy's father was likely an unbelieving Gentile. He was a Greek, Acts 16 says. And Timothy had not been circumcised, so it's not like he was a proselyte to Judaism. So there seems to be no faith in Timothy's father. In the patriarchal society, it was common for the father to pass down that baton of faith to his children. But Timothy's father had no faith to pass on. It was his mother and his grandmother who passed on their sincere faith. And I think there's encouragement there. I think there's hope here for women with unbelieving husbands, women with believing husbands who are not taking spiritual leadership seriously in their home. There's a word of encouragement and hope to you this morning. If Timothy grew up to love and serve Christ, then your son or daughter can also grow up to love and serve Christ by the grace and the power of God. So don't grow weary in well-doing. With God, all things are possible, and He will bless your efforts in your home. As it turned out, Timothy's Jewish and Gentile background was invaluable in the spreading of the gospel in his ministry. He was able to empathize with both groups of people as he shared Jesus on those missionary journeys and also as a pastor. So model moms here we see inspire in difficult times. A survey revealed that 40% of moms have received an unwanted Mother's Day gift. You may be like, yeah, that was me before at some point. Though most of these mothers were too polite to complain about it. Let me give you a couple of those unwanted gifts. Deodorant. That's bad. That's really bad. A fire extinguisher. It's actually pretty good. Hair dye. And a roll of toilet paper. Now, hold on. I take offense at that last one, right? You might remember Mother's Day last year during the pandemic. That's what we gave you moms, a candy bar and a roll of toilet paper, trying to be practical on Mother's Day. There's a newspaper article that described Mother's Day cards that you absolutely should not buy. Here's what one card read. Well, I guess this Mother's Day card is late. Looks like someone wasn't raised properly. Okay. This one's even worse. Another card had a picture of a laundry basket overflowing with clothes. Mom, I love you loads. Speaking of loads, can you do my laundry? No, no, no. Finally, one straight to the point. I'm awesome. You're welcome to the luckiest mom ever. Don't you dare buy those cards for your mom this Mother's Day. Don't you dare. Or any of those gifts either. Think about this. Probably the greatest gift you could give to your wife or your mother or your grandmother today is to say thank you, like the video encouraged us. Thank you for passing along sincere faith. Thank you for passing it along to me. Thank you for passing it along to our children. Men, daughters, sons, today would be a great time for us to speak up and say thank you to that special lady in our lives. The word sincere there, sincere faith, literally means not phony. It's authentic. It's the real thing. It's genuine faith. It's without hypocrisy. And just think about it for a second. Hypocritical faith cannot be passed along to your children. If you're living in hypocrisy, that type of faith will not be passed along to our children. A faith that acts and speaks and looks one way on Sunday in the church building and another way altogether throughout the week and in the home. You can't pass along your faith like that. Sincere faith, it's a lifestyle, and it is absolutely contagious, and we see it here. Timothy caught it. It was contagious for Timothy. Paul says, I am absolutely persuaded about this young man's sincere faith. The people in Timothy's hometown, they speak well of him. They too are absolutely convinced of his faith. So Paul chose him as a partner for the ministry. A contagious faith, real, without hypocrisy. That's what you're able to pass down to your children. Before we go any further this morning, I'm compelled to share with you that nothing in this world, including motherhood, will make you feel complete or satisfied. Nothing, not even motherhood, will make you feel satisfied. Only Christ is able to bring complete satisfaction. It's because, moms, you were made for relationship with God. But because of your sin, you're separated from Him. He is holy and righteous and just. You're separated from Him because of your sin. But because of His great love for you, He made a way. He made a way for you moms, to be brought into right relationship with Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus went to the cross on your behalf, in your place, as your substitute, to bear the penalty of your sin. And then He rose again from the grave, and through faith in Christ, you can be satisfied. You can be eternally satisfied. Even the best mom cannot earn God's favor. That's because salvation is by grace. God's unmerited favor. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, not by works, so that no one can boast. If you find your identity in motherhood, you will be unsatisfied. If you find your identity in Christ, you will be eternally satisfied. Listen, you cannot pass along to your children, to your grandchildren, what you don't have yourself. And I say this, there's no better day than Mother's Day to come to know what sincere faith is, to come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to repent, to turn away from your sin, and to embrace Christ and the gospel that He died for your sins and that He rose again. Then you will be eternally satisfied. That's the first step in becoming a model mom, that model mom that God desires you to be. So today we celebrate motherhood. We do so because model moms inspire. The second reason we celebrate motherhood is model moms instruct. They instruct. One of the greatest gifts you can give your children and grandchildren is not instruction in music or dance or sports or style or education or manners, though those things have their place, the greatest gift you can give your children is instruction in the Word of God. Instilling it in them. Immersing them in the truths of God's Word from a very early age. Studying it, the importance, understanding the importance of reading it and studying it and memorizing it and obeying it. We only see these two women mentioned one other time. It's over in chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me. Lois and Eunice in chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. Many of you are familiar with verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But I don't know that you knew that, if you know that Lois and Eunice show up in the context of that very important verse. Look with me at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You might be thinking, where are they? I don't see their names. I didn't see Lois and Eunice there in those verses. You're right, but there's a couple of clues that point to these two women. The first one is found at the end of verse 14. Notice the phrase, because you know those from whom you learned it. The pronoun whom in the Greek there is plural, which means that Timothy learned these things, not just from Paul, but from others as well. Others like Lois and Eunice. And again, that's pointing us right back to chapter 1 and verse 5. The second clue actually points right at them, right at these two women. Verse 15, how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Lois and Eunice faithfully taught Timothy the Scriptures even before he could walk and he could talk. And there were no picture books back then. No Word of God as we hold it today. The Old Testament Scriptures were many times told in stories in homes. The story of creation, the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Lois and Eunice would have been sharing those stories from childhood. They taught Timothy the law. Taught him how to obey it. Helped him to memorize portions of it, to hide it in his heart. They described to him what the sacrificial system was, what the Passover lamb was. They shared prophecy about Messiah, the hope that they had. So Timothy was immersed in the Word of God from infancy. We've endeavored as a family to try to do that with our children. And God has used a very important resource, used many resources, but one in particular, it's called The Lamb. And it's a wonderfully illustrated book that takes the gospel, clearly shares the gospel from creation all the way to Christ. And I would highly recommend it for your children and for your grandchildren. Why is it so important? Why is biblical instruction such a gift? The answer is there at the end of verse 15. The Holy Scriptures are able to make our children wise for salvation. The Scriptures reveal to us the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man. The Scriptures reveal to us the grace of God and His provision of a Savior. It reveals to us the gospel that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that He rose again. It reveals to us how our children can be come into relationship with God through Christ. It reveals the truth that we cannot save ourselves. Thus, Paul made this declaration, Romans 10 and verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So sincere faith comes from hearing and responding to the message of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Moms, grandmothers, this is your calling. This is your high calling to make disciples. And I want to encourage you, don't feel like you need to do 100 different things. Even good things in the church to the neglect of your responsibility to make disciples of Jesus Christ in your own home. That is your highest calling. Pass along your mission so that in turn your children will go and make disciples of all nations. So the Word of God is able to make our children wise for salvation. Not just that, it's also able to help them grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Paul said here in verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Moms, I hope you understand this. You hold in your hands this morning the inspired, inerrant, authoritative, all-sufficient Word of God. There is no greater gift that you can deliver to your children than the gift of instruction in the Word of God. It has power. It has power to bring about its purposes, God's purposes. God's Word will not return void. It is all that is necessary for salvation and for godliness. Paul says it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. In other words, it tells our children what they are to believe and how they are to live their lives. It is able to transform. Moms, you're not responsible for transforming your children. That's the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the power of the Word of God. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to teach the Word of God from infancy, to live out the Word of God in your home before your children. And we see that transforming power in the life of Timothy. Think about Timothy. Young, inexperienced, immature, often sickly. Paul wrote about that. An introverted man, young man by nature. That's how Timothy was wired up. Yet God equipped him. God equipped him through faithful women and the power of His Word to go on and go into the ministry, accomplish great things for God. So never underestimate your children. Never underestimate your grandchildren's potential for ministry, to go and to make disciples of the nations. I want to challenge you with this too. Guard against the temptation to take credit. To take credit for their successes. That's God's grace. That's the power of God's Word. And don't take credit for all their failures either. Each one is responsible. As you put the truth of the Word of God before them, they are responsible for their own obedience, their own response to the truth of the Word of God. Again, your responsibility, immerse your children, your grandchildren in the Word of God from infancy. Live it out before them and then trust God with them. Listen, if your children don't see your own passion for the Word of God, then you won't be able to pass it on to them. If they don't see you reading it, they won't be motivated to read it. If they don't see your life being changed by the Word of God, then they'll have no desire to obey its commands. Your children must observe your passion, your love for the Word of God. I give a little shout out to my wife here. And in doing so, I want you to take this right. This is a shout out to all you moms this morning, all you grandmothers who are immersing your children in the Word of God. But I'm thankful for Amy, her passion to instruct our children. And my children see Amy rise early in the morning and read the Word of God. That's having an impact. She shares theological truth with them throughout the day. She teaches them about unreached people groups and takes time to pray for the nations with them. She's guiding them right now in memorizing the Sermon on the Mount. And she encourages them in their own walk with God, their own personal Bible study, to persevere, to continue on day after day. And then as they face things in life, trials and joys and disappointment and conflict, she's constantly directing them back to the Word of God. There's no greater blessing than a wife and mother who loves the Word of God. So thank you to all of you mothers who are passionate about God's Word. Model moms inspire through their sincere faith. Model moms instruct through God's powerful Word. Finally, we celebrate you moms today because model moms influence. You all are influencers. And I want to give you a little bit of background here. If you're going to catch the full force of what Paul's saying to Timothy here, you have to understand the context. In verse 12 of chapter 3, Paul reminded Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Timothy was in the fire. Timothy was experiencing trials, the threat of persecution, resentment of his own congregation, of church members, danger of false teachers. But notice the advice Paul gives him. Chapter 3, verse 14. Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. Okay, why? Because you know those from whom you learned it. Don't miss this. Remembering the sincere faith of your mother, remembering the sincere faith of your grandmother is motivation to continue on in what you learned from them. Their testimony serves as motivation for you to stand firm in the truth and to persevere through all those difficult days in life. Charles Spurgeon is an excellent example of that. During the 19th century, he preached to tens of thousands of people in London. Countless others were inspired by printed versions of all of his sermons. When he died, 60,000 people flocked to the Metropolitan Tabernacle to pay his respects. As they took his body to the church, 100,000 people lined the streets to pay their respects. But before Charles Spurgeon was the Prince of Preachers, he was a young boy in the arms of a godly mother. Her name was Eliza. He never forgot her influence. Even through rebellious years, he never forgot his godly mother's influence. Spurgeon shared an occasion when she prayed earnestly for his salvation. He didn't overhear her. He heard her praying over him. Listen to what she prayed. Now, Lord, if my children go on in their sins, it will not be from ignorance that they perish, and my soul must bear a swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold of Christ. And what a powerful prayer. Listen to Spurgeon's response later on. The thought of mother bearing swift witness against me pierced my conscience and stirred my heart. After years and years of rebellion, Charles Spurgeon did come to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. And after he came into relationship with Christ, he wrote his mom a letter. Listen to these words. Your birthday will now be doubly memorable, for on the 3rd of May, the boy for whom you have so often prayed, the boy of hopes and fears, your firstborn, will join the visible church of the redeemed on earth and will bind himself doubly to the Lord his God by open profession. You, my mother, have been the great means in God's hand of rendering me what I hope I am. Your kind, warning, Sabbath evening addresses were too deeply settled on my heart to be forgotten. If I feel prepared to follow my Savior, not only into the water, but should He call me, even into the fire, I love you as the preacher to my heart of such courage as my praying, watching mother. Imagine receiving that letter from your son. He never forgot. He never ever forgot her sincere faith. He later honored every godly mother in a sermon when he said these words, never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. Eliza, a godly mother who influenced her son, who influenced the world, even some of us here this morning through his writings. Mothers and grandmothers, your faithfulness to Christ's call to go and to make disciples, especially in your home, it will never be forgotten by your children. And our children, as we all know, are facing unprecedented times right now. Times of trial and temptation. They will remember your sincere faith. It cannot be erased from their memory. No matter what they face, no matter how far they wander, no matter what God calls them to do, they will not forget your godly influence, your godly example to them. The key to perseverance in tough times is to remember our mothers. Remember our grandmothers. Think about Lois and Eunice. That day on the second missionary journey, Paul arrives in town. He calls Timothy to go with him to take the gospel to the nations. Imagine the joy that must have filled Lois and Eunice's heart. They had trained up a young boy in the way he should go, and now he's old, and he did not depart from it. He followed Christ all the days of his life, carried the gospel to Berea and Athens and Corinth. He served as a pastor for many years in Ephesus. He served Paul while Paul was imprisoned. He was Paul's special representative to the churches. Look at Paul's own estimation of Timothy, Philippians 2. These are wonderful words from Paul, high accolades. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him. There's nobody else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. Quite words of commendation for young Timothy from Paul. It's like the ripples of a stone. You throw a stone out in the middle of a calm pond. You watch those ripples spread out from the center. That was the influence of Timothy's life. It all started with a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Timothy, think about it. Immature, sick, weakly, introverted boy. But he had a great God and he had a great mother. Fox's Book of Martyrs chronicles his death. Happened in the year 97. He was more than 80 years old. He was murdered that day. Murdered by a crowd of people for taking a stand against their idolatrous celebration. Murdered him on the spot. He remembered his mother Eunice. He remembered his grandmother Lois. And he persevered to the end. Motherhood, what a wonderful calling. Calling of Christ to make disciples. Model moms inspire with their sincere faith. They instruct with their passion for the Scriptures. They influence with their mission to make disciples. Now I want to close this morning with a story. A story from back the 2004 Summer Olympics in Athens. The U.S. women's 4x100 relay team was strongly favored to win gold at the Olympics. The team featured Marion Jones, a sprinter who won 4 golds in the previous Olympics. The U.S. team was off to a strong start. Jones took the baton for the second leg of the race. She gained ground as she ran her 100 meters and approached Lauren Williams. Williams began running as Jones drew near to her, but when she reached back to receive the baton, they couldn't complete the handoff. Once, twice, 3 times Jones thrust the baton forward, but each time it missed Williams' hand. Finally, on the 4th try, they made the connection, but it was too late. They'd already gone through the exchange zone and they were disqualified. The night before, they had the fastest qualifying time. But when they couldn't complete that handoff, their race was over. So moms, I want to encourage you this morning, but I want to challenge you as well. Pass the baton. Mothers, grandmothers, pass the baton. Inspire, instruct, influence. Your greatest calling is to make disciples of your children and grandchildren. Sons, daughters, grandsons, granddaughters, husbands, celebrate motherhood today. Take some time. Celebrate your mom, celebrate your grandmother, celebrate your wife today. Tell her how much she means to you. Thank her for passing down sincere faith to you. And especially thank God Thank God for His grace in giving you your mother. As Spurgeon said, never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. So this morning I say thank you. And I say we love you as sons and husbands this morning. Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray that each mother and grandmother, even great-grandmothers here today, are encouraged by your word. I pray that they're challenged as well. Father, you've been so good to us in giving us motherhood. And I know that this is a hard day for many women this morning. Maybe something I've said this morning has burdened their heart and even discouraged them. I pray that you would encourage them by your Holy Spirit. Pray that they would know your grace for failures. They would know your forgiveness. They would know your strength and power and help and grace in the days ahead as they start afresh in pouring into their children, especially your life-giving word. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for their sincere faith. Thank you for my own mom and how she taught us the scriptures and showed us who Christ was. And all through my life has been that support to me. Thank you. Help me to remember her as I ought to. Thank you for giving me a godly wife who loves our children and loves the scriptures. And Father, as I say that, I know many sons and daughters and husbands here are joining me in that prayer. Thank you. Thank you for your grace towards us, especially in Christ, and then in giving us our mothers and our wives. Bless them today. Richly encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen.